What child is this? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. But what child is this? What child is this whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? What child is this? Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and donkeys are feeding? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? What child is this good Christians fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. The silent word still pleading. Christmas Day, for the preacher anyway, is not a day for many words. I suppose we might hear that statement, that Christmas Day is not a day for many words, as indicating that a sermon on Christmas Day should be, well, brief. We might also understand the statement as meaning that a Christmas sermon should be, well, careful. A day for some words, but not for others. There are just some things that a preacher shouldn't say on Christmas Day. There are guests in the house, after all, and we want you to come back. Whichever your preference may be, that my words this morning be brief or careful, I did read this week in a commentary for preachers on Christmas a recommendation for both. Christmas is not a day to preach many words, nor is it a day for dense theological arguments. Right?
Right.
But isn't it, in fact, just that? For many Christians, the opportunity to worship on Christmas Day happens on those odd years when December 25th falls on a Sunday. For those of you who weren't here last night, welcome back. And thank you for coming. If you weren't here last night, here's what you missed. Expectation and anticipation at its peak, smiles and well wishes, a time to repeat the sounding joy and to sing, "Let earth receive her king." It was a night of hope. But on Christmas Day, we are called to do something a little different. We're called to settle in. If our liturgy followed Robert's rules of order, we might say that the morning after Christmas Eve, God is calling the question, "Can earth receive her king?" Can we receive the king? Today, Christmas Day is just that. While Christmas Day may not be a day for many words or deep theological arguments, it is a day to settle in and to wonder, what child is this whom angels meet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? Who is this Christ our King? Can this earth, can our hearts, can our homes employ him room? Can we let this King rule with truth and love? This Christ our King, and this child is, of course, a child who suffers in our world. This Christ our King, and this child is, of course, every child who suffers in our world. This Christ our King, and these children are, of course, the children of God. The children of God and Christ our King are all those who are suffering in our world. The children of God suffering in our world are Muslim, and they are Christian. They are Jewish. They are Palestinian. Christ the King suffers in Asia. Christ the King suffers in Africa. Christ the King suffers in Baltimore. Christ the King suffers in Silver Spring. Christ the King is Jewish and Christian, Hindu and Muslim, global and local. This is Christ the King whom angels meet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. And there is still no room at the inn. Good Christians fear, for sinners hear, the silent word is still pleading. On December 22nd, the darkest day of the year, Glennon Doyle Melton, author, blogger, truth teller, hope spreader, and creator of the Momastery, that's monastery with two M's, issued a blog post inspired by the largest refugee crisis since World War II. A dense theological argument was the basis for the post and a call for single donations of $25 each. Here's Glennon. My little family celebrates Christmas. It's coming. If you turn on the TV, you could be convinced that Christmas is about toys and shiny things. But Christmas is really about a precious, poor, Middle Eastern family. It's about a man and a woman and their little baby who had God inside of him. That baby grew up and taught us so much about fierce and tender love that I can cry just thinking about him. Before he died, he left instructions about how to respond to those who are hungry and homeless and despised and forgotten. He said, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing to me." This year, Glennon wrote, the Christmas story isn't ancient history. The Christmas story is unfolding in real time. Once again, the world is deciding if we will feed and clothe and love the little ones with God inside of them. Later in the post, Glennon quoted Dr. Linda, a volunteer refugee worker working on the ground in Lesbos. There are thousands of children here, and their feet are literally rotting. They can't keep dry. They have high fevers, and they're standing in the pouring rain for days on end. You have 1 month, guys, and then all these people will be dead. The only response Glennon could conjure from reading Dr. Linda's calling was indeed very brief and very dense. And all I can hear is, God's feet are rotting. You have 1 month. Later in the post, this: the mamas are standing at the gates asking the guards to let them and their children in, or to kill them and put them out of their misery, because that would be more bearable, because they are watching their babies slowly starve and freeze to death. And Glennon's response, and all I can hear, is, God is starving and freezing and dying. The momastery, within 31 hours, raised over $1 million for refugee release in Lesbos and in other parts of the world. There were 40,000 givers, 40,000 hearts employed to make room for Christ the King. Christ the King, whom angels meet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. And with that good news on this Christmas day, good Christians, God still calls each of us to question with a silent word, still pleading. During the announcements at today's service, we will talk a little bit about the work that our parish does in the name of this Christ, our King. It's good work. It's holy work. It's amazing work. Some of that work will begin shortly after this service in Trenbath Hall next door. And there's more for us to do. And we will. Together, we'll employ the room. I'd like to pray with you, but before we pray, I'd like to sing. I'd like to sing with you in the hope that the lyrics of our Advent and Christmas carols will manifest themselves, as the Book of Common Prayer so aptly suggests, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before the King in holiness and righteousness on this Christmas day and all our days. Open your hymnals. Turn to hymn 112. We're going to sing verse 4. And the reason that we're going to sing verse 4 of hymn 112 is because on the fourth Sunday of Advent, I broke into tears as I watched Joan Phelan teaching the children of God at St. Albans, who this Christ the King is, and what they might give. And all I could think, Joan Phelan, was, there is hope for the children of God. So I wrote Joan at about 12:18 last night and said, I'm adding something to my Christmas Day sermon. I hope you'll be there. I didn't hear until this morning that she was. So stand. Joan will sing verse 4 once through. The choir may join her, and then we'll join her, and then we'll pray.
What can I
Christmas, and let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born this day of a pure virgin. Grant that we who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the same Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever.